Hare Krishna. After the trees had fallen, at that time, two effulgent persons emerged from the trees. Delivered from their curse, the two demigods offered prayers to Krishna. O embodiment of eternity and boundless bliss, you appear more attractive than a cluster of soft, beautiful, dark blue rain clouds. All glories to you. All glories to you. No one can understand the mysteries of your transcendental pastimes. You have appeared on earth just to enact your splendid spiritual sports. Along with your appearance came many mighty demons eager to fight with you. However, you always exhibited greater power and easily defeated them in an artistic fashion. Even though just a tender boy, you have personally uprooted these two massive Arjuna trees, you are definitely one without a second. You pour mercy upon everyone and bestow abundant affection to the fallen. As a common man enjoys different playful sports, you relish wonderful varieties of rasa in all your pleasantly artistic transcendental pastimes. Truly, you are the embodiment of auspiciousness, appearing in Vrindavan to benedict all the Brijbasis. The moon, the lord of the stars, becomes totally afflicted upon seeing the beautiful radiance of your moon-like face. The natural glow of your attractive lips surpasses the reddish color of the bimba fruit. You delight learned sages by cutting the dense vines of ignorance with the axe of your mercy. Human intelligence cannot penetrate the fathomless ocean of your transcendental pastimes, but one can attain your lotus feet by following pure devotees. The words of the lotus-born Brahma, the blue-throated Mahadev, and other demigods are always ornamented with descriptions of your transcendental qualities. While your effulgence alone displays complete and unlimited power, you personally perform various playful pastimes. Strands of jeweled necklaces adorn your broad chest. Your feet deride the purity of land lotuses. Although you appear in specific forms in all four yugas, you have as many unlimited names and forms as there are stars in the sky. As the white incarnation, your glorious deeds were pure and faultless. O Lord of the three worlds, you quickly satisfy the desires of the materialistic people who proudly proclaim, "This is mine. O Master, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. In this whole creation, who can compare with you? You are the one without a second. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is not bewildered by your illusory energy? O Enchanter of all minds, you astonish everyone with your matchless ability to do the impossible. O bliss personified, O darling son of Nanda Maharaj, as the crest jewel among all the immortals who wander through the pleasure groves of Vrindavan, you perform super excellent pastimes. Though using the choicest Sanskrit slokas, the best of sages fail to properly praise you. You exist simultaneously as formless bliss and bliss personified. In either gross or subtle forms, you alone exist everywhere. You exhilarate both the humble servants and the realized souls. The incessant stream of consciousness flowing from your lotus feet looks like a form of the nectarian Mandakini celestial Ganges. Please shelter us under your splendidly sweet lotus feet. And please destroy all attachments that prevent this. O friend of the distressed, we have no desire other than the desire to touch the pollen dust on your lotus feet. Narada's curse turned into our greatest boon. Association with sadhus who intensely yearn for your service, therefore, always gives good results. May our words perpetually glorify you. May our minds be forever fixed on your lotus feet. May our ears be constantly absorbed in hearing your teachings. What more can we say? Now that all our senses are engaged in pleasing you, we can relish the nectar of your loving service. Narada Muni, that saintly honeybee who always drinks the nectar of your lotus feet, has released rain clouds of mercy upon us by his apparent curse. You, who display your attractive pastimes in thousands of universes, have kindly allowed such fallen souls as us to see those pastimes. O Lord, who can describe the immense fortune of your mother who bound you to this mortar? What more can we say? Even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, and all the exalted sages in the universe do not possess even a fraction of a grain of the good fortune possessed by Mother Yashoda. Omnipotent One, even the greatest jnanis, Vedantists, and yogis cannot understand you. But you quickly avail yourself to prema bhaktis intent on hearing your transcendental pastimes as Nanda Nandana. O Lord, we want to become completely attached to your lotus feet. So we beg you to please reveal within our hearts the right prayer to attain this. Alas, show us how to live righteously by accepting the results of our good and bad karma. After speaking thus, the demigods proceeded northward and disappeared. Then the two twin Arjuna trees crashed to the ground. Their falling made such a terrible sound that it defeated the village ladies. And not only that, it defeated the four elephants controlling the four directions of the heavenly planets. All the Brijbasis felt fearful. The sweet taste of bliss that Brajeshwari Yashoda and the Brijbasis had previously relished now suddenly disappeared. Becoming bewildered and fearing another calamity, they stopped their duties. They rushed to that place. And when they saw the huge fallen trees, they thought perhaps Mother Earth was offering dandavats to Krishna Kumar with the arms of these tree trunks. The split open trees looked like the gaping mouths of the lower planetary system. Its two branches appeared like two huge snakes rising up and desiring to go in different directions. The two trees seemed like the dead bodies of the demons Madhu and Kaitava thrown on the ground by the Lord himself. And when the Brijbasis found Krishna, he appeared calm, he appeared fearless, and he appeared free from danger. Though only a child, Krishna looked like a priceless jewel ornamenting Mother Earth and assuring her of protection by his very presence. At that time, the Brijbasis thought, oh, what is this? How have these huge Arjuna trees suddenly fallen without being pushed down by the wind? In a second, these trees could have crushed and killed Krishna, but Krishna just stands peacefully between them, looking as fresh as a newly formed rain cloud. It is our good fortune that nothing harmful has happened to him. For a long time, these two trees have stood there troubling others. Now, due to old age, their roots have become rotten and they toppled over from the weight of their leaves and branches. But upon closer examination, we see that this is not the reason, because the roots, branches, and leaves are all fresh and hard. In various ways, the Vishvasis tried to evaluate the situation. While deeply drinking the pure nectar of Krishna's wonderful pastimes, Nanda Maharaj's face beamed with transcendental delight. The mind of Krishna also danced in jubilation over his recent exploit. Vrajraj Nanda untied Krishna from the mortar and placed him on his lap. Then the expert and learned Nanda scolded his wife. Nandarani, you have made a big mistake. But suddenly, Nanda Maharaj remembered Gauga Muni's prophecy that Krishna equals Narayana, and that all the scriptures proclaim his transcendental qualities. And thinking thus, Nanda concluded that no one but his son could have done this amazing feat. The friends of Krishna said, "Hey, look at what Krishna has done. Our spotless hero has done something impossible." Afraid of his mother, Krishna dragged the mortar over here, then it got stuck between these two trees, and Krishna uprooted them. None of the assembled Vrajbasis believed the words of the innocent children. Taking auspicious articles such as rice, agya, durva grass, Nanda worshipped Krishna, who is the source and bestower of all benedictions, who far surpasses Narayana in good qualities. And afterward, Nanda brought Krishna back home to the accompaniment of musicians playing drums and cymbals. Hare Krishna.